Bronze Ladle Studios. Here's in Shane and the Membrane.
Hello and welcome to the In Shane and the Membrane podcast. I'm your host, Shane Thompson, and with me for now, my co-host Jason S.
Happy to be here temporarily, perhaps permanently.
Yeah, permanently, temporarily, or temporarily, permanently.
Fantastic.
Every day I get you here is a good day.
I think there might be a guest host next week, speaking of.
Hey.
A guest host.
It's a teaser. It's a teaser. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. Okay.
Stay tuned for that. Okay, we're gonna jump right in. I'm trying to keep it short today.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on timer.
We'll see. It's not gonna happen. Yeah. It's not gonna happen.
People are betting the over already.
Take the over. Everybody take the over. So, March Madness, we're still in the middle of it here.
Yeah.
There's only been one game that I have watched, one March Madness game, and this is on the men and women's side. I want to be fair.
Okay.
There's a bunch of games on both sides. One game I've watched from the very beginning to the very end. Guess which game that is.
I'm going to say it was last night's Iowa versus LSU 2023 rematch of the females Elite Eight to see who gets to go to the Final Four.
Of course it was.
Yes.
Did you watch it all?
Of course.
I was so excited, and the game did not disappoint.
No, it was great.
It did not disappoint. It was, and it proves once again, as long as you have the storylines, mm-hmm. the entertainment will be there.
Yep.
And it was.
So
in
great.
Spades, man. I stayed back. You know, there's good storylines with the second game with USC mm-hmm. and
UConn.
UConn, thank you.
Paige.
Yes, she's fantastic. And the freshman chick.
Oh, my God. Juju?
For USC. Juju, yeah. She's great.
This is awesome.
She's great. So I watched part of that game. I don't watch it from start to finish, but it was still a good game. And freaking UConn. You know, I'm just sick and tired of Geno and UConn, whatever. But anyway, watching that game, and, you know, Caitlin Clark, she's great. And we've talked her praises.
She plays for Iowa, for those who are not.
She plays for Iowa. Yeah. She dropped 41 on them last night. It's not just the passing. It's so many other things. It's not just the scoring. It's not just the threes. It's so many other things. You know who I really would compare her to? When I watched her play, and I'm like, oh, I know who she is.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to say.
Who is she?
Steph Curry.
That's exactly who I was going to. We didn't talk about this beforehand,
no,
did we?
No, we didn't. No.
That's exactly who I was going to say. And let me tell you something. I'm not a Steph Curry fan.
Oh.
Because I'm not a Golden State fan.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green and all that stuff or whatever. But I like Klay Thompson. I like Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Steph Curry, but I like rooting against him more than I like him. Because he's so wonderful and he's such a heartbreaker. Yeah. And the reason they're so similar is because they take the craziest shots and you're like, well, he's going to make that. She's going to make that. And she did. She took so many stupid 40-foot crazy shots last night and she made so many of them. I'm just like, yeah. And it's not just that. It's her passing. The passes were fantastic.
Great.
So many of them. And I'm like, that's Steph Kerr. In a female body out there, that's who that is. She's the Steph Kerr of the female basketball world, and arguably he's the greatest shooter of all time.
There's no argument there. He's the greatest shooter of all time.
I could make arguments, but I won't for time's sake. I won't. And I'm like, she very well. She's got a while to go. She's gonna play professionally, of course. I mean, she's a senior, so she's gonna.
Yeah.
She's gonna play. She's probably gonna be the first round pick. The first overall pick.
She is.
Okay. And she'll play professionally, and we'll see what she does in the NBA, the WNBA.
Yeah.
But she, who knows? Who knows, man? It'll be interesting.
I love this. This is so great. Look at this. Lead in the podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Women's basketball.
I thought you'd be happy with that.
That's great, man. I do think that Juju Watkins is the next big star.
She's great. She's a true freshman.
She's so good.
Which is insane. So she's like 18 or 19,
whatever,
one of those. She's young, but she's just already fantastic.
She is a baller.
It does strike me a little bit in that then you know certain players so Angel Reese mm-hmm. for example,
she plays for LSU for the listeners.
That's right. She's a great player. Mm-hmm. No question. And she was killing them, and then she tweaked her ankle. Mm-hmm. Went out for a little bit, came back, was never really the same after that. Still had 20 boards. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. But I guess she's declared for the draft, maybe. Am I right, or thinking about someone else?
I'm not exactly sure, but I think I think she's going to the WNBA as well.
Yeah, because I think she was a junior.
I think so. I think she's going to go.
Okay, maybe it was already known or whatever. And then they cut in with a few other high-profile players. It seems like more women than men will stay longer in the college game. Now,
I think you have to.
Do you have to?
I think you have to.
Scott. Get in here. Look this up.
I looked this up the other day.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, and I believe it said you have to stay 3 or 4 years in college before going to the WNBA.
The NBA is what, just one? Is it still just 1 year?
1 year out of high school. You don't have to play
in
college.
1 year out of high school. Okay.
Yeah, so you can go to like the G League and play for a year and then get drafted, which is what Scoot Henderson did last year.
Kevin Durant, 1 year. At Texas.
Right, and that changed because it used to be you could just go straight into high school.
Like you could.
Kevin Garnett, LeBron James.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Absolutely. These guys went. But they were ready to go right out of high school. So kind of like, I don't know why we have that dumb rule other than the NCAA got its grubby hands on that and made them do that. Because I don't know why we do that otherwise, frankly. I really don't know.
It's a great question. At some point, probably people didn't think they might be ready to play the program. Like, because, you know.
Okay.
Lou Alcindor. Or couldn't even play as a freshman at UCLA.
So, and I understand that. But if they're ready to play like LeBron James, let them play. I don't care. And if an NBA team is willing to take a shot on them, you should let them take a shot on them. So they're old enough to go to war and die for our country, but they're not old enough to go play basketball for money? Interesting. I don't know.
The WNBA requires players to be at least 22.
Oh, it's an age thing.
To have completed their college eligibility.
Okay.
Or to have graduated from a 4-year college, or to be 4 years removed from high school.
Wow.
So you could leave after 3 years if you were to graduate in 3 years. If you weren't on the Shane Thompson, the Southern National University plan, if you were on a different kind of track.
That's unnecessary.
It's true.
So things that are true or are okay and necessary to say even when they're hurtful to other people?
No, if I hurt you, Shane, I apologize.
Thank you. You didn't hurt me.
Okay.
But still.
I'll see what Angel Reese is going to do. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we're not going to do a whole nother sports podcast, though. We're not. AMES, hang on. I swear I'm gonna switch up gears. Because that's all I wanted to say about that. Do you want to say anything else?
No. Great games. The women's game is amazing. Great stories.
It is Final Four time, and it's pretty interesting that there are two schools have both their men and women's in the Final Four.
UConn.
And?
I don't know.
Come on.
NC State.
Yes, there you go.
NC State. Yeah. An underdog in both women's three seed and
they're
men's
3-seed.
An 11 seed.
An 11 seed on the men's side. I'm like, wow, that's wow. That, stop counting them out. But anyway, that interesting that two schools have both men and women in the Final Four.
Wow.
Interesting.
Angel Reese has not decided if she's going pro or not.
Oh, okay.
She'll make a decision when she's ready, Shane.
I'm not rushing
her. She says.
I'm not rushing her. Hey, go get paid, man.
As of the recording of this podcast.
She already won a national championship. You don't need to prove anything else. Go get paid. I'm okay with that.
I'm sure she's doing well now, isn't with name, image, likeness.
So. I don't know. I'm sure Caitlin Clark is doing just fine.
Yeah.
She's the belle of the ball.
She really is.
It's a lot of pressure, and to her credit, she's handling it. And she like Steph Curry, he rises to it, and she's rising to it. She's got the weight of the world on her shoulders, and she came out. Hit her first deep three, and I'm like, she came to play, man. This is really great. You know, we're not watching someone crumbling under the pressure. She is handling it, and she's much watched TV. I don't know how else to say it.
It's so great when you have high expectations from a player,
yeah,
and they deliver.
Yeah.
Going back to the expectations thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly. Kim Mulkey?
Yeah.
Did you see when she
for the listener,
yeah,
former Baylor coach, current coach of which team?
LSU
Tigers.
Yeah, she's a spitfire. That's how everybody would describe her.
Yeah.
I like her though. I like it that she's such a spitfire. So you know another sad thing about it is so they win or they lose and then immediately, and it's not, I don't think the guys do this immediately, but maybe they do. The women like immediately have to get in the line and shake hands.
Okay.
Right, because they're like celebrating Iowa. In this case, Iowa's celebrating. LSU mm-hmm. is crying.
Right,
and they got immediately. But the head coaches go over and like, we're shaking hands right now. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, man, give us a minute here. And you got to go over in the middle, oh, we got to go shake hands and stop celebrating, and then dry your tears real quick and walk through the line or whatever. Anyway, that seems kind of crappy the way they do that, but whatever.
I find that very interesting.
Yeah,
it happens at every level.
Not, but in the pros, you don't ain't none of that. No. You know, now they'll go over after a minute and kind of individually.
I'm sorry. It's college and high school.
Yeah.
There was high school state championship team this year that did not go and shake the hands of the losers this year. I was really fascinated by that. But let's go back to Angel Reese.
Okay.
This article in Women's Health says that she has made $1.7 million in NIL deals.
Wow.
And that her net worth value is $3 million as of January of 24. Well,
good for Angel.
So yeah.
She's going to be a great WNBA player. There's no question.
She's going to be great.
She's going to be one of them. I'm not worried about her. I'm not going to send her any money.
Kind. That's nice.
I know. It's nice. Yeah. So Kim Mulkey, the LSU coach, they're going through the line. She pulls down Caitlin Clark, and she's because Caitlin Clark's 6 foot.
Yeah,
she doesn't seem tall, but six foot. I mean, that's above average height for a woman.
Yeah.
And Kim Mulkey's like 5'2 or something. I don't know. She's short, even with heels on.
Yeah.
She pulls her down, and she's talking to her for like a few seconds. It's not just a quick, you know. And then in the post game, they said, hey, what did you say to her? Guess, did you know this answer?
Yeah, yeah.
What did she say?
She said, I'm glad you're moving on.
That's exactly right. I'm going to be here next year, and I'm glad you're not.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired. It was a classic, and I caught it in real time, actually. There's one where the white point guard for LSU, I don't remember her name.
Oh,
the girl with the blonde has a break.
Yeah,
and she transferred to all that.
Yeah.
She's a good player, but
she's
Caitlin Clark, you know. She's defending Caitlin Clark on one of them, and good defense, and Clark hits a super deep three, and she turns around like she throws up her hands like, what am I supposed to do?
Shrug.
And it kind of caught it. Her, like, in the foreground and Caitlin Clark in the background. And I'm like, that's exactly what I would do. I'd be like, what am I supposed to do?
It's a Steph Curry moment.
It is a Steph Curry moment. It's like, everything that we're taught, I did everything I'm taught, and she still made this bucket.
Yep.
And she's not supposed to make that. It's like breaking all the known laws of sports, and I don't know what to do with it. You know, I caught it real time, and I'm like, that's hilarious. And then other people have caught onto it and, like, highlighted her and shown her. Like, I'm like, that's what I would have done. I'd be like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know how to defend this. So, anyway, and then Angel Reese fouled out late, and that was kind of sad. And anyway,
yeah,
it's good. It's just great. All the way. Great must see TV.
Great start.
Yeah, that was Kim Mook is like, I'm glad I won't face you next year.
Great.
Okay, moving on.
What's next?
So, do you know anyone in your life that goes by they them? You know, all these pronoun talks and whatnot. You do. Okay, very good. Do you struggle at all when referring to that person or talking to that person about using the they, them?
I've gotten better.
Okay.
But it has taken me a longer relationship. But at first, I kept thinking of there was a plural, that it was like they weren't a single person.
Yeah.
They were multiple people.
Yeah.
And I kept getting confused by that. And it took me repetition to get there.
I was talking to someone yesterday, and they were talking about someone in their life that goes by they, them. And they kept saying they, and I'm like, who are the other people?
Yeah.
It is difficult for me because we have established that they, them is referring to multiple people.
Correct.
So it just feels like this was a problem. And I get it. Hey, listen, for the people that want to be known by that, I don't have a problem with that. I don't. I have a solution.
What is it?
I've had this for years.
Okay.
Okay. And why we don't do it, I don't know. Other than I'm just so far ahead of my time, and I think that's very possible, that people, they'll appreciate me when I'm dead, and they'll use this, and maybe they'll give me credit after I'm gone. I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, it's going to be on record, so I'm looking forward to seeing what you got.
My family, I had told them this years ago, and they made fun of me, and now they're coming around like, ooh, I think I really like that idea of yours. Okay, hear me out.
I can't wait.
We use capital I when referring to ourselves.
Uh-huh.
I.
Right.
And I don't think everybody's okay with saying I. I don't care whether you're transgender, you're male, you're female, you don't know, whatever. You can still say I because I just means me, this individual, singular person.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it dawned on me, you know, when you're reading a book, for example, and it's referring to another person and using a pronoun, and it'll just pick a she or he where it's not really a she or he. Specifically, it's just another person.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will say he/she or whatever, and like that's dumb. So most books don't do that. They'll just say he. They'll just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got that covered. No problem.
What is it?
It's brilliant. We take the letter E.
Okay.
Capital E is a pronoun for everybody. So the he, she, the she, her, he, him, all that, the they, them, all that stuff, E.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'll get behind it.
Great. You don't want to ridicule it or anything?
No.
I'm so used to people ridiculing it.
Well, when somebody says, I mean, okay.
You
want to
try it out? You want to try it out?
I do, but I also, okay. I so if they don't choose he or she, they will choose like they went to the store.
Right.
And context clues let you know that that's one person and not multiple people.
Right. Still confusing.
But
my brain is like.
But E went to the store.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it could work.
Hey, what did E say the other day to you? Oh, E said that that they really liked my hair. Okay, great.
Hey, I like it.
Hey, thank you. Well,
Is it out there?
No, I don't know. I thought of E pluribus unum. What does that stand for? All for Trump? Is that what that stands for?
I don't think so.
It doesn't? That's my bad on that. What does that mean? All for one? One for all? What is E pluribus unum? E is something in Latin.
Yeah, it's got to be something in Latin.
I don't know what it is, though. Well, Scott, look that up. Okay, he's back there looking it up. Not really. So why do we even need he and her, she, him, he? Why do we need all these pronouns that establish what gender the person is?
E pluribus unum stands for out of many, one.
I was so close. Hey, what is the E? What part of the E of that equation is E?
One from many.
So it's perfect.
E means one.
It's perfect. It's perfect. Why aren't we using this? Listen, Jason, can I get a commitment from you right now that you're going to start using this? And people will question it, and you have to explain it every time, and I'm sorry about that, but this is the only way it's going to spread.
I don't feel like I can give you that commitment right now.
Wow.
But I will back you if this is going to be so.
It's like saying, if we get into a fight, give me a call. I'll be in the car and I'll think about getting out. If the fight's going in your favor, I might get out and help you in the last few minutes of it. That's basically what you're telling me.
Yeah, that sounds about
not right. I'm going to be that's right good. By your side and I'm going to throw the first punch if that's what it takes. You're not going to do that.
I'm just seeing if you, wow. this could be something that could really,
Oh, I know. You're welcome, society. I appreciate it. But once again, we're slow to change, so
five,
we won't accept this for a while.
5 years ago, someone named Lindsay L.
Shout out.
On LinkedIn says, I have just written a proposal to the Oxford Dictionary that the word E, lowercase,
okay.
and uppercase E, be created as a gender-neutral third-person singular pronoun.
I said this more than 5 years ago. Ask my family. Wow. It's probably at least 10 to 15 years ago because I kept reading he, her, she, and when they're, I'm like, you just mean another person. Hmm. Why don't we have, and why is it necessary to even establish gender when we're using pronouns? Why do I have to say he? I'm like, if I really want you to know, I'll say Jason, right? I'll use that person's name. Because I have a name, I can use their name in place of the pronoun. I don't need to use the pronoun.
I think that you're onto something, and I think this is, if when people listen to this back in 45 years, mm-hmm. perhaps they'll be like, wow, Shane was way ahead of his time. Because
really
there
was.
Are people who use Zay, Z-E.
I've heard of that.
And
I've heard of
there
that.
Are people
that's
who
weird.
Believe that E-Y would be another. So there are people who have talked about this before, but it is not very prolific. Even on an internet service
Look,
right now.
It's beautiful all the way around. It saves time because it's one letter, okay? We don't have anything for that letter. It's free. It's available. It's every angle I look at it, it's like, this makes so much sense. Why haven't we been doing this all along?
Oh, man.
So, anyway. All right. There you go, everybody. You're welcome, society.
Wow, that was great. What's next? This is a great start.
I know.
That actually reminded me of one of my all-time favorite stories. I don't know if we have time for it today, but I knew the guy that trademarked the at symbol.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is he rich today?
The government made him give it back.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
But
it's like trying to trademark E. I'm going to trademark E.
He started the very first ever internet cafe right
okay.
across from NYU.
Okay.
His name was Glenn M.
Shout out.
And he started at Cafe. And when
okay.
he started that, he trademarked the at symbol. And then this is before the internet blew up. It's get some great stories around Glenn M.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to. I'm not paying attention at all to you because I'm trying to look something up.
So
I'm trying to remember.
So
it doesn't matter.
So sometimes when I look something on the internet and I re-listen to our podcast episodes, whatever you're saying when I'm Googling things on the internet, I've never heard you say that before.
Like, did he really say that?
And so I love listening to the show again.
Did he call me a goober?
I like, when I'm typing on this computer screen, I don't know what you're saying. So I learned so much when the episode. You have some great stuff to say.
After the fact, every time we record, you need to come in and tell me what you learned from the previous episode that you didn't know real time.
One of our favorite listeners, I believe, is Berkeley S.
Shout out.
Oh, man. She loves to listen to the
really
pod.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So we get in the car and she's like, Dad only listened to that when we're with me. So, hey, speaking of a little follow up question.
Okay.
When's the new haircut due?
I still got a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Do I know what I'm going to do? No, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, we've talked about me going to Sean or whatever. I don't know that I'm brave enough to do that. But I still got a couple weeks.
Okay.
I'm not happy with this last cut, so I'm not going back to Wendy. Mm. Sorry, Wendy. But sorry, nothing against you. It's just I'm not super thrilled with it.
It's going to be a journey. It's going to be a journey. I think you should.
I may just start shaving it.
No.
Yeah, why not?
No, well, why not? I'm because not. You're a 50-year-old man with a strong head of hair.
That's
and a
true.
Strong hairline.
I guess,
need to lean into that.
I guess for all the other men that can't grow hair,
yes.
You know, I should do it just for them.
Yes.
I guess I owe it to them.
Somebody who is...
With great power...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
With a great head of hair...
Well, I would like... I think the listeners need to know who you go to and how...
Okay.
An ongoing segment every 6 weeks.
Fine.
To know how it was going.
Fine. I really wish that Lucy...
Oh, shout out!
...was still here in the city. She's a stylist, and I liked her a lot. And she's more expensive, but she's worth it. And I'd go to her and pay double, triple, whatever I got to pay, because I liked her that much. And she did such a good job, too.
Oh, man. What a
but
great... That's a great
she
moment.
Doesn't. Great Maybe moment. I'll drive down to her. She's in Texas somewhere.
No, it can't be that far.
Okay, anywho.
Oh, what a great moment.
Moving on.
Yeah.
This is what I really
What's
wanted
next?
To talk about
yeah.
today. So I watch television. That's a television. Sometimes I watch it too much, but I do watch it. And I was watching the show. There's a show. I kind of like it. And I don't know. Some are really good episodes. Some are not. It's like I don't even know the name of it. It's like Undercover with Maria Gutierrez or something like that. Or like the... So I really don't know that any of that's right. Undercover, the seedy side of what she does is investigative work on like the darker sides of society, like the black markets and whatnot.
Okay.
And one of them is human trafficking.
Undercover with Mariana Venzeller?
I was so close.
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly
human
it.
Human trafficking. Okay. Yeah.
That's one of them. Sure.
Sure.
She's done multiple, but
there's like
but the
four
seedier,
seasons of this.
Yeah. 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 It's
wow.
It's pretty good. Some of them really good. Some of them like,
okay.
Organ harvesting, like illegal organ, you know, trafficking.
Not the state, but like the.
Yeah. I forgot that you just
you piqued
default.
My interest right there.
Organ.
Oh, organ donating.
Organ. No E in that. So this latest episode I watched was about. Fake prescription medications. Okay. So specifically, you can, here in the United States, you know, we got a lot of controls. We got the FDA. We got all this other stuff. So if you want to take a medication that I guess is powerful enough or whatever, I don't know what that line is, because you have a lot of over-the-counter OTC medications that you can just buy.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can buy them and take them as many as their heart desires, right?
Yeah.
Over-the-counter. And you can take... you take enough Advil to kill yourself, right?
I am not a doctor.
You can.
I am guessing that
you
that
can.
Would be...
I'm telling you, you don't need. Wow, just agree with me, okay?
I agree with you, Shane.
I read it online on the internet, so it's true.
Okay.
I'm saying there's plenty of over-the-counter medications you can take in excess and kill yourself.
I was
going
to Google, can you take enough Advil to kill yourself?
Go ahead.
I decided not to because I don't necessarily want my search results to.
Smart.
I didn't want that in there.
Muy inteligente es Jason. So you can get over the counter, but any stronger than that, you got to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Like your wife, Katie S.
Shout out.
And Katie, she's got a lot of knowledge and power, and so she has this prescription pad that she can write on and give to a pharmacy, and that's their authorization to go ahead and prescribe this drug, whatever it is, to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. I think that's how it works.
Okay. And then typically, most people here in the United States have health insurance, and then health insurance is going to pay for some of it or all of it or whatever. There's going to be health insurance, you know, payment involved.
Yes.
Sometimes there's not.
Right.
So anyone can go to the doctor and get a prescription for whatever they need, whatever the doctor deems necessary for them to take. Whether or not you have health insurance is irrelevant. So you can then go and just, they'll sell you any medication if you have a prescription for it.
Yeah.
Even without health insurance.
Yes.
There's going to be a price.
Yeah.
Now, it might be very steep because you don't have health insurance covering, so it's $1,000 or whatever the case is, you know. But you can do that. So it's not having health insurance isn't preventing people from getting this medication. It makes it expensive. More expensive than it would be without.
Correct.
Okay. So a fair amount of people, apparently, internet said it. So she said it on this show. That they will, you can go down to Mexico. That's our neighbors right here to the south.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you live in one of the southern states like Texas or Arizona or California, you can just drive right over the border. And there's all these pharmacies. And guess what? They'll sell you all of these prescription drugs without a prescription. And it's much less expensive.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do this.
They do. Yeah. That's true. That's true. They do. You can also order it online. Oh, yeah. You can order anything you want. Any medication, for real. Any medication you want, you can order it online and get it from England or whatever country you want to get it from, right? Okay. From Mexico, whatever. So we're not really stopping people from getting, we're making it a little more difficult, but we're not really stopping them. But here's the thing. With the United States, yeah, you're paying a lot more for it, but there's a lot of checks and balances in the system. The FDA, the doctors involved, everybody. They're required to go through all these checks so that you know when you get that medication that it's been vetted, that it's the real deal.
Yes.
And it should do whatever it says it's going to do because that's what it is, right?
I think that's the whole sort of like the point, yeah.
Hey, yeah, agreed. And I appreciate that level of security that we're taking. I do. Don't get me wrong. Now, you're taking chances. You go down to Mexico, you get it. You can get that same drug for a lot less money, but you're taking chances. And in her show, they were estimating like 30% of the drugs not sold, you know, in the United States with prescription from regular pharmacies are fake.
Really?
Yes.
30%?
30%.
That seems like a lot of percent.
Now, what they do is now most of them aren't harming people because guess what? There's nothing really in. They don't want to harm people because those are customers. They need them coming back and buying more medication.
Oh, so more like rather than like putting something like fentanyl in there that could really harm somebody.
That's right.
You're just putting in like Advil.
No.
Or just like
calcium.
Oh.
Sugar pills.
Oh.
They're just placebos, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
They'll do no harm to you whatsoever because they don't want to harm you.
Sugar pills sound great. By
I know,
the way.
Don't they? Don't they? Can I chew it too? Is it you make it in a gummy?
Let
That'd
me
be great.
Some sugar, yeah.
And there's something to be said for placebos too.
Yes.
There's a lot of power in placebos. Ooh. So anyway, but she goes deeper and she interviews a lot of these people. And then to cut to the chase, in kind of the end, she's showing the stories of all these people who say, I can't afford the expensive prescription medications that I need in the United States, so I got to go to Mexico to buy these cheaper drugs, and I got to just take chances that it's not fake or that it won't harm me, even though I know there's a risk there, but I got to do it because they charge too much money for it in the United States, right? That's the argument from some of these people.
Sure.
So then she, Mariana, what's her name? I don't know. Mariana?
I was looking up
the
episode
Maria.
Called Trafficked. I believe it
okay.
is. Season 1, Episode 4, Black Market Meds is what the episode that
okay.
you watched.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
And so
Mariana.
Her name is Mariana Van Zeller.
She speaks very fluent Espanol. She's really good. So she then is goes to the pharmaceutical companies,
okay.
You know, because you see where this is going, and every, you know, so many people have this.
This looks like a great show, by the way. This traffic,
it's
all
good.
Four seasons, some great
okay.
topics.
I recommend it.
Yeah,
I recommend it. So, you know, so many people have this attitude. Oh, these pharmaceutical companies—they're making so much money. And guess what? You're right. They are making money.
Oh.
There's no question.
Yeah.
Zero question. Are they making a lot of money? Yeah, they're doing okay. Don't worry about them. Okay. Now, they would claim. Oh, well, we're putting so much of that back into research and development that then is advancing the science and the medications are getting better and better and more
That's
effective.
Nice of them?
Well, sure, because then they can sell more of it. If it's more effective, more people are going to buy it, or they can charge more for it, or whatever the case
is.
That's true. So they really were deflecting when she was interviewing this representative from a pharmaceutical company. They're deflecting and saying, well, that's really necessary for this, that, and the other, whatever. and then putting it back on health insurance, blah, blah, blah. And the whole system's messed up, okay? It's gotten off track. There's no doubt about that, okay? I'm not going to go too deep into that.
Seems like it, yeah.
Okay, but here's the big question. You ready?
Yeah.
It feels like in America, we love capitalism. We love our capitalism, do we not?
Well, yeah, I would say that that would be a founding principle.
Absolutely. It's a big one. Yeah. And I'm not against capitalism. There is a ton of good about capitalism, okay? There is. But the one area where we don't like capitalism, healthcare, okay? Because we don't like to see someone profit off of the necessity to take care of someone's health.
Yeah.
Right? You agree with me?
Yes.
Okay. And furthermore, we feel like, for the most part, that everyone is entitled to whatever they need to sustain life. And here's my argument.
Yes.
So if this homeless person was dying and they needed something, a medication, to prolong their life,
mm-hmm.
there are places in the United States, there are certain hospitals they can go to and they can get that care, right?
Yes.
That the government's paying for, that ultimately we're paying for.
Yes.
Okay. Now you can argue about the level of care they receive and this, that, and the other, but we still believe that like everybody should get it eventually.
Yes.
Okay. My argument is that's not capitalism. It's not. You're getting into socialism at that point if you say that, because there's a cost to everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I have a friend of mine. I'm not even going to say his name.
Okay, it's a he though. You should have said E. I'm not going to even say E's name.
It's not a guy. E said. E is a pharmaceutical sales rep.
Oh, okay.
And he's represented a lot of different drugs over the years. Okay. And one of them, I don't even know if it's what he's doing now or whatever, but one of them, this may have been years ago. I don't know the timeline. Was a very rare drug that was very specific to like 200 people in the country.
Wow.
Very small subset. But the medication was extremely expensive, like $1 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, insurance company paid for it. Now, because they looked at it as, well, this is one out of the hundreds, if not thousands of people that we have. It's just one. It's not that big of a deal. And we'll do it. But guess what? They're paying for it, so you're paying for it, so everyone's collectively paying for it.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of like almost like insurance or GoFundMe, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, in many ways, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So there's a drug out there like that that's extremely expensive just to keep a few people alive.
Wow, yeah.
So the cost seems like it's not really worth it, right? As far as bang for your buck, it's like we're spending a lot of money. You know, if you say it's 200 people, then that's $200 million a year, right? For us as a society, because we're collectively taking care of these people to keep 200 people alive. 200 just random people.
Yeah. I mean, you think that's a lot of money?
$200 million a year?
Yeah, but if there's like 200 million taxpayers, it's like a buck a person.
Yeah, but this is just one example. I don't know how many other people there are like this.
Okay.
My point is, you know, if you lived in a society where you're like just like you're most effective, it would be like, we'll forget those 200 people. We're done with those 200. Write them off. You know, then you're getting into more like Nazi territory of eugenics, right?
Yeah.
You familiar with eugenics?
Well, I would have to probably make sure I did a little bit reading up on it.
Jason is always scared of. No, just like saying we're not going to waste a lot of time on someone that's already dying.
Right. So the majority is more important. Is what you're saying than a minor fraction of group of people that have a disorder.
We don't have unlimited resources. Would you agree? We as a society do not. We have a limited number of resources.
Financially?
All of our resources. Name it. Name it.
No, I don't. I think that.
What's unlimited?
Well, we were going to have a conversation at some point about other. Subjects that there'd be a potential hitting a brick wall about those finances.
Okay.
And I think that there's more. I always think that there's enough.
Oh, okay. Okay. The kind of the opposite of the myth of scarcity of there's always enough.
Yeah, I kind of have this feeling that like we have an abundance amount of resources, and I would rather pay for somebody's medication for life rather than spending money over here on some other areas that, that we would spend things on.
Okay, so okay.
If I were in charge of the spending,
okay,
I would probably choose more for personal health than I would other areas.
That's fair, and I think a lot of people are like you.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? Do you think a lot of people are
like you? I
don't know. I think they are. I think they are. But here's where I'm going with this.
Okay. There's only a certain amount of pie.
There is. But
I think there's extra pies in the second kitchen. And you're saying that there's only a certain amount of money in the pie.
Every resource in the world is finite. There's not one that's infinite. I mean, even the sun is going to burn out someday, you know? I mean, it's just like it's all finite to a degree. And so life is about managing resources, because if you don't manage them, then they'll run out and you're in trouble.
Oh, man. Said from a financial planner. Just absolutely the most on-brand Shane T moment right there. Was like, you've only got so much.
Well, you
and
do.
You have to plan.
This is a result of you.
You have to financially plan.
You live in your fantasy camp life. You're like Kramer again. Kramer doesn't worry about where his next meal's coming from. He's like, it'll come from somewhere.
You know, also someone like that was a man named Jesus.
Fair enough. Touche, Jason. Touche.
No, so with the limited amount of resources, keep going. Keep
okay,
going with
okay. Here's my point.
Yeah.
That it's not that simple. You can't embrace capitalism on one side and say people get what they deserve. And the harder you work, the more you're rewarded. That's capitalism. That's how that's. But then you can also say, well, even if they don't deserve the good health care, we should still give it to them. Mm-hmm. Like that's not capitalism. Mm. It's not. Capitalism would say if they haven't earned it, they don't deserve it, and therefore they don't get it. That's how a capitalistic society works. We enjoy that with everything. With everything else, like a car, for example, like if you can't afford a car, you don't get a car. And there's no one out there really saying, oh, give everybody a car, please, because they have to get a car to live life.
That's very true.
Okay.
Yeah,
Everything else is a luxury in life. So many things are a luxury, whereas there's just a few things that are necessities.
Yeah, and I think that you've said that really well.
Oh,
I think that within levels of capitalism, there are socialistic areas of concern for the society at large.
Yes.
That capitalism allows itself to bend its rules of extreme capitalism for the potential flourishing of all of society and not just the, let's say, top 1, 2, 5, 10%.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, but on the other hand, we embrace capitalism so much we hate any kind of socialism, even socialized medicine. And I would argue we have socialized medicine already. Medicare, Medicaid. Do people not know about these that aren't 65? I'm like, we already have that to a sooner care. You know, you name it.
We have a lot of socialism. We have a lot of socialism in our capitalistic society. That is very true.
Yes.
And are you saying that you would like to have more or less socialism when it comes to healthcare?
Here's what I'm saying.
If you
want a one word answer, the answer would be more. And here's my argument for that. And then, oh, you want to be like Canada? I'm like, yeah, I do actually. Because here's why.
Yeah.
Yes, there are plenty of companies out there, pharmaceutical companies, making a lot of money. But they would argue, once again, we're putting it back into research and development. That also incentivizes them to work harder, to push harder, to improve the drugs, to improve the overall healthcare. I don't disagree with that. Okay, I don't. Now, there's a reasonable level of profit that you should be able to make. But once you get into that territory, your only option is for society to control that. And society controlling that just means the government, because the government is society.
Okay.
So to me, yeah, it makes a lot of sense for the government just to take over healthcare in general. Katie's not going to want to hear that.
Well, it'd be interesting if you should invite her to be a host on, because I think she would be interesting to hear from.
I invited her to come tell her bus driver story, and she hasn't.
What'd she say?
She didn't even respond to my text.
Huh.
Yeah.
We should text her again. She's oftentimes, you know, saving people's lives.
I don't care. Burn me once.
Healthcare heroes.
Burn me one time. That's all it takes. not really. It's okay.
I like what you said.
Because what you can do is you can say, we collectively as a society, as a government, we can choose to put X amount into healthcare, but only X amount, and there's no profit in it, right? There's no profit, but we can dump a ton of money into it. We can pay people a lot of money to be OBGYNs, to develop new drugs. We can still pay a lot of people to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the incentive for them is they get a big old fat paycheck, okay? But it's not a profit for a corporation.
Yeah,
that's controlled, right? So this is you're controlling it more, which normally I'm against, but once again, in healthcare specifically,
mm-hmm.
that's the only industry I'm promoting this, because you can't have it both ways. Either you're going to be harsh and live in a true capitalistic society that says if they can't afford it, then they don't deserve it and they don't get it. And we don't want to do that, clearly, you know. There is part of me that's like clinical that thinks that's the way life is, though, you know. But the other part of me, the Christian side of me, that says, well, that's not what Jesus would do, right? Like he would. But then we have to individually choose to help these people out versus collectively. Mm. And that's where I say, well, I think we should collectively do it instead of just relying on the few good individuals to do it. We should all collectively do it. And whether you want to participate or not, if you want to live here, which you don't have to live here, you can move anytime you want. We're not stopping people from moving out of the United States.
Yeah, well,
we're not.
It might be hard for them financially to
You tell me there aren't other places they could live much less expensive?
I don't know.
There are. Trust me.
I don't know.
Yeah, I do know.
Okay.
Financial advisor, remember. I get these articles all the time talking to me top 10 places to retire on $20,000 a year in the world or whatever.
Oh, really? Where should people go?
No, we're not. No.
Okay.
I'm not getting into
that. So if you want to bring it back to where you are at.
Yeah, we're doing good.
Do you feel like people what's going on right now is the United States of America's
yes.
best way of attempting to do medicine in a capitalistic society
yes.
where with elements of socialism for the flourishing of most, but yet the system is so broken with that it just seems like it's just almost couldn't be repaired.
Right, right. I'm following you. I think it is broken considerably, right? As
yeah.
so many other processes are.
Most of our systems.
And that just happens over time. We don't evolve well. And
yeah.
and everything changes, and if we don't update our systems on a continual basis, they get out of date. And that's where we've gotten with education, with healthcare, you name
oh,
it, right?
Man.
So many. So I'm saying, yeah, we need to here's really what I think the problem is. We, America, have been so against communism, right? That we don't want to touch anything even close to communism. Mm-hmm. Socialism smells a little bit like communism, you know, because there's so many people out. The more power you give the government, you know, the more power. And I want to say, you know, the government is you. That's us, right? You understand that, right? The government isn't some separate entity. It's you. You vote for who you want to represent you in the government because that's who we are collectively. And we've determined that we need a group of people to manage all this stuff for society. And that's what it is. It's us. It's not them. It's us. So I would say, yeah, I guess it smells a little bit of communism, but get over it. It's not communism. It's what other countries have already been doing successfully, like Canada. And then people put, oh, well, people have to come from Canada. They have to wait 6 months to get an MRI. Okay, guess what? Get in line. People don't like it because the people in the United States that have the funds, that have the resources, the haves, they get top shelf treatment, right? They get an MRI same day. Man, all these professional athletes, they don't wait 6 months. It's like 2 hours later, it's like, oh, MRI was negative. I'm like, well, in Canada, they'd have to wait 6 months. So, so many people, the haves in the United States, which is so many of our friends and family and everything else.
I would say someone listening to this podcast.
Absolutely.
Would say
if you're listening to that, you're probably a have. Whether you think you are or not, you're a have.
You have the both resources and technology, innovation,
and
listen,
time. I won't argue that you're getting better treatment than the have-nots. I won't argue that. And to me, it feels a little unfair. If we're saying healthcare, a certain level should be available to everyone, I'm like, this feels a little unfair. And so if we're Canada and everybody's on a level playing field,
mm-hmm.
then I kind of like that better. Because we're all saying, no matter what your resources, you're part of the society, and you're going to have to wait. Now, if I think if it's like life-threatening, I think they bump them up in line, and they prioritize it like that. Or I'm like, if you have money in Canada, drive to the United States or fly to another country where you can have that done, because there's plenty of other countries where you can have that done. So you still have options.
Interesting, yeah.
It's not just your country. Yeah. It's just like you don't want to drive a couple of miles. You're like, oh, I have to drive more than 2 miles. I'm like, well, boo-hoo. I'm sorry. For the rest of the people that can't drive or fly across the world to get better health care, we have to have this level for them, and you have to be part of that system because you agreed to it when you live here, and you just have to buy in. Mm. So, yeah, I'm not afraid to admit that I'm a fan of it, because ultimately we are in agreement of that. We just don't like to call it that, but that's what it is. That's
kind
what
of
we
a
already
wink,
have.
Wink, yeah.
Because we already, you know, Obamacare drew so much flack, and let me tell you what Obamacare is.
Okay.
It's basically just health insurance for people who don't have it through their employer, mm-hmm. that's heavily subsidized by the government. Mm-hmm. Unless you make a lot of money, like if you make a couple hundred grand a year or something, you're not going to get any subsidies from the government. You're just going to have to pay a couple grand a month or whatever it costs for your health insurance. And that's literally what it costs for most high deductible plans these days for like a family.
Okay.
So the government's like, you know, if you're rich enough, you know, the real haves, we're not going to help you. But everybody else will help you. So for the vast majority of people, you see those commercials and it talks about, oh, most people, $10 a day. There's truth in that, because most people are the average and they will get the subsidies. So government is going to be offsetting where they're getting health insurance through the marketplace, which is with private health insurance companies like Blue Cross Blue Shield. But the government's just paying them instead of you. So I'm like, it's the same thing as socialized medicine, you know, and that plus Medicare, which everybody over 65 gets Medicare. And it provides, you know, X amount of coverage for everybody over 65. And that population is growing the longer we live. So I'm like, we really already have it for the most part. You know, you just think you're all special because you got your private health insurance through your employer. But when you look at society as a whole, it's a socialized situation. So my point is, let's just go all the way and be done with it. Employers don't have to pay for it anymore. We just all buy in and collectively pay for it as a government, and then we all get the same level of service, because that's what we're agreeing on, that saying that everybody deserves, you know, that level, mm-hmm. then we're all in agreement.
Okay.
So
yeah,
great.
When can we start?
Tomorrow. I'm ready to go.
Whoa.
I'm ready to go. You want to do a vote?
Not even going to wait for like a new presidential election or anything?
Nah. No.
Okay.
I'm not going to get voted in the state of Oklahoma. I can tell you that right now. I don't think enough Oklahomans are going to be in agreement with me on this.
You know, I don't know if we have time in this pod, but isn't,
we don't, because we're running out of time. You said you want to keep it short. I said I want to keep
it
short.
Isn't it interesting how that would probably help most Oklahomans on the whole,
right,
as far as where Oklahomans who are voters,
right,
find themselves in the voting public,
right,
amongst the United States of America?
Yes.
But yet they would not vote for their own interest.
I get it. I get it that it's scary, because once again, we're not that far from McCarthyism, right? The anti-communism from the Cold War. We're not that far from that. Mm. From Vietnam, for that matter. That was all just about communism.
See, these are for our younger listeners.
Yeah.
He's not talking about Mike McCarthy, who is the current coach of the Dallas Cowboys, who is, I don't think.
Wow.
Or who formerly of the Green Bay Packers.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go crack a history book. You needed to pay more attention in school, because they should teach this stuff in school. And I'm not that bright, and I haven't followed history very close. But Vietnam was not that long ago. And let me tell you, Vietnam was all about communism spreading in Vietnam. Imagine that. And we failed miserably, you know.
It's interesting that you say it's talking about education, because in the back of my mind is you're talking about prescription drug costs and healthcare in a capitalistic society.
Right.
And the brokenness of the system. In my mind, I kept thinking about private schools, public schools.
Right.
And what education is, quote unquote, deserved or undeserved,
right,
for a citizens of the U.S.
We've also agreed that everybody has a right to that. So we have socialized education. That's exactly what we have. Because every child has the right to go to school and get it paid for by someone. Now, we are collectively paying through, and primarily through property taxes.
Correct.
If you don't want to pay for school, just rent. Although, ultimately, your rent dollars are going to your landlord, who's then paying the property tax. So, you know, it's kind of a trickle-down effect. But that's how it gets paid. And everybody, whether you have kids or not, like right now, I'm paying out the wazoo because I moved to a higher property tax area. And I don't have any kids in public school, but I got to pay a bunch
because
to public schools.
Because you want
in my...
people who in your area who will have children to have
want
education.
Is a strong word, but...
you are forced.
I'm willing. I'm willing. To do it because I accepted that burden when I bought property in this county, and I'm like, I understand that those are your terms, and I agree to them, and I'm all in, even though I'm not individually benefiting. I know that our society, this community, is benefiting from it.
That's right.
Okay,
that's how this
but
works.
But it's socialized. That's socialism. If you look it up, I tell you that's what it is. And but to your point, yes. So then you also have the choice because you think, well, the system's so broken. I'm unhappy with the public schools in my area that I want to send my kids to a fancy private school.
Or homeschool.
Or homeschool, absolutely. If you have the time or you have the money, you have that option. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Right.
But
you have your
you still have options.
Yeah.
Right? You're not for the government's not saying, you, Jason, you have to send your kids to Edmick Public Schools or whatever
right.
you know, district you're in. You say, nah, I don't want to do that. They will say, your child has to go to school. Has to be schooled in some manner because we're not going
to
have.
Yeah, they will, I think, jail parents if their kids
wow.
are not going to school. Is this
wow.
true?
I don't know.
True? I don't
Scott, know. Look that up, buddy.
Man, we got Scott. We got
I know. He's earning guy. His he's earning his keep this
hey,
episode.
As we mentioned him a few times, just want to say thanks. I love our continued listeners with the group text.
Yes.
That send us the
it's
weekly
pretty great. It's pretty great.
Updates on their thoughts on some of the both ridiculousness
yes.
and the seriousness of the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
So thank you to all of our
some
fans.
Of them may not like my socialism speak.
well, I don't know.
I'm not. Listen. I want to be very clear,
we don't
though.
We like your socialism we're, speech until we need some of it.
We're running out of time, and I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of an economist at heart, and I see the pros and cons of all the different systems of economies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are from the extremes of communism and capitalism, they're kind of at the extremes, and there's socialism in the middle, and there's some others in there. Mm-hmm. They all have their pros and cons. They do. I'm not going to say that one's evil and one's not and vice versa. I'm not going to say that. Capitalism has a ton of positives, and it's put us in a good place. In the world economy, our capitalism has really put us in a good place, and there's something to be said for people need to be incentivized to go above and beyond, to push themselves, to push society. They have to be incentivized. That's why communism doesn't work. If you take out the incentive and you just say, you show up to work because that's what you're expected to do and you're going to get paid this no matter what you product that you put out, that doesn't work. That's not how people work. That's why communism doesn't work as a whole. So capitalism works better there. But then there are certain things like healthcare and like education that we're pretty much agreed on that everybody deserves it, and we should collectively provide the resources, because they're finite, even if Jason doesn't know it, to do that.
More pies.
Jason's like, we could just go bake some more pies. It's no problem.
Look in the back. There's more pies.
There's only so many ingredients. There's only so many. Wow, this guy. So I just, look, we love to shout and say this person's to blame. Pharmaceutical companies are to blame. The health insurance companies are to blame. The medical industry, the doctors making so much money are to blame, right? I'm sure that Katie's caught some of that flack in her life.
Lots of blames that go around, people, yeah.
There's plenty. We all throw it around. And my point is the system's not – it's not nearly as broke. Like we're taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
We are. It's just how we're handling that financially. We're not doing a very good job of that, an equitable job of that. That's the word I'll use. Mm. And really what we need to do is just admit it and go full on socialize with these certain things and be done with it.
It's great.
But we won't because not my lifetime.
Starts
at least.
Tomorrow.
It ain't going to happen in my lifetime.
Hey, can I ask you a question as we wrap
one last
up the
question.
Show?
Look at it. It's 5 minutes till three.
Yeah.
So you got to go with three.
So here's
I'm trying to keep us on track.
Here's my question.
Okay. I'm ready.
Because I know the pod has been great.
Okay.
And we've got but between now and the next recording of this podcast, whether okay. I'm the host or not,
okay.
It's going to be a worldwide event, particularly in North America.
Okay.
It happens in 5 days from the recording of this podcast. Do you know what I'm talking to?
Are you talking about the Masters?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No. I'm talking about a global event involving the planets and the sun. And
oh,
the stars.
Solar eclipse.
The solar eclipse.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you.
I just want to get on. I just want to get on record before okay. before the eclipse happens.
Okay.
On my countdown, it's 5 days and 22 hours.
Okay.
So, are you excited? And what are your plans for the eclipse?
How many eclipses have you seen in your lifetime?
Probably three, I feel like.
I've seen at least that many. Were you in school and they made you make that little box and you had to see it through that?
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I hated it. It was dumb. And I'm like, I'm staring up at this little bitty dot of light that's now kind of half filled.
Is this going to be the biggest eclipse, ever. Though, in our area that we've encountered?
The full eclipse route, as they've projected, they just shifted it a little bit. 2,000 feet. Oh, I'm like, okay, whatever. You got to go down to like Anadarko or something, far southeast Oklahoma to catch the full eclipse.
Are you going
to
do that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Will
you pay attention to the eclipse? And maybe this.
Go out when it's time. I'll go outside and stare at the sun with my naked eyes. Yes, that's exactly what I'll do. Although the last time, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe 5 years ago or so, somewhere in there. Although they say now it's going to be like 20 years till the next one or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know how they predict that. It's pretty cool. One of my neighbors here in the office complex, they had some solar eclipse glasses, and they gave them to me because they're like, "Well, I saw it for 2 seconds. And I was done with that." And I'm like, "Yeah, thank you for spending the money on this." It was pretty cool watching it with that because you could really see it so much better.
Huh.
It was like looking through a welder's helmet or something, just a very polarized lens. It was pretty cool. Will I buy one? Absolutely not. And if someone has one around that they're going to hand to me so I could look at it for 2 seconds and enjoy it, sure, why not?
I just was curious.
Are you excited? Do you think it's a big deal? I mean,
I'm looking at the last time I have the eclipse is August 21st of 2017.
Yeah.
Is when my little girl.
Wow. Okay. So that was 7 years ago.
Is wearing her glasses. I have a picture of that moment.
Ooh.
And so I just was curious. That's all I know.
Oh, okay.
So what's your last thing? Because I had one last thing. You have one last thing.
I do. I'm going to say it just because that spurred a little. It's totally off topic, but I just remembered
to know
what to say.
We had our two stories.
We did.
We had a show.
Yeah.
That we're having our kind
sure.
of,
sure.
What I like to call the one last meaningless thing.
Speaking of, you're all about the photos and whatnot.
I
love the new
pictures.
Apple commercial. Where they said, "Don't let me go," you know what I'm talking about? It's hilarious because the guy's got all these stupid photos, and I'm like, "Hey, don't erase those, because now we're going to give you even more storage." Or what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, "That's cool, I like that." Now, there's a Walt Disney World commercial of recent that I thought that's the best commercial, at least for Walt Disney World, I've ever seen in my life. Because, and I did this when I had kids that I took to Walt Disney World or any event where my kids are kind of looking at something and they're fascinated. People always go on vacation and they take pictures. Like they go to Walt Disney World, and they take pictures of the Magic Kingdom castle, right? And the entrance. And maybe their family's really small under the entrance of Epcot or whatever the case is. You know what I do? I take a picture of my kids as they're watching some event because I don't care about the big fireworks show or whatever. I care about the look on my kid's face. Right, that's what I want to capture. And this commercial is simply that.
Wow.
It's a video of just the kids. And you can tell it's like a parent or something right next to them. And the kid is just, there's just this joy on the face of the child watching whatever it is. And I'm like, there you go. They captured it perfectly. And so many families taking, and I'm like, don't take pictures of the stupid stuff. Because you can get a much better picture of the castle at Walt Disney World online.
Mm-hmm.
All day long, man. Don't waste your photo, even your little bit of digital space, on that crap. You can't get photos of your children's face up close when they're in a pure moment of joy like that. That's what you want. So that's what you need to focus on when taking pictures on vacations. And Disney knocked it out of the park with that commercial. I was like, there you go. That's all the commercial is. It's pretty great.
I found it, and I sent it. I sent it to you right now.
Okay.
Also, I will send you a picture of my daily skincare routine as well. Oh, what a show. Thanks,
I'm not going to have the discipline to do that,
thanks
but I appreciate
me.
It. You're welcome, Jace. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
and look at the time.
Oh, man.
We're under an hour. I got to stop it.
We're going to hit that under.
Oh, I got to find the mouse
hit
and then hit it
under.
While I'm hitting it and pointing it. And until next time.